Okay, I didn't hear a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Monday night conference call facilitated by Win Free. That's me. And thank you all who are listening on BBS, if you're there. And we have some people here on a telephone line. And
there are 5 participants in the conference.
Gosh, there's only 5 people tonight. All right, here they come. Now there's 6.
There are 6 participants in the conference.
So we're all conducting a exercise in what I call experiencing and manifesting the law of one during this hour. So if you're tuning in for the first time, consider that you're part of our experiment, and you can be an observer, and also you may find that your consciousness starts to move spontaneously during this hour, in which case you know you're a participant. So you don't have to believe anything. Just be open to the possibilities, and usually we have a phone line, and there's a number of people that have been doing this now for quite some time. We've been doing it together on Monday evenings, and some of the people have noticed some amazing results as a result of their participation in this experiment. And so I thought I would just take a moment and let me see, find out who's here on the phone. You guys on the phone, are you willing to say hello and be on the air at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah. Did I hear Karen?
Yes.
Hi, Karen.
Hello.
You're not shy, are you?
Aaliyah's here.
And is that Aaliyah?
That's right. Hi, Wynn.
Aaliyah? And who else is there?
Wayne.
Did I hear Francis?
Francis in California, yes. Wynn.
Hi, Francis.
Hi, Wynn.
For some reason, I've been thinking about you lately. I don't know why.
Say again?
I've been thinking about you.
Oh, good. Good talk.
That may be good. I don't know. I never can tell. Who else is on the line?
Hi, this is me.
Whoa! I got everybody at once. Okay, let's start off with the East Coast. Who's on the line from the East Coast?
You got Wayne.
I got Wayne, okay. And who else? Who's in the middle? Who's on the line in the middle?
Jean.
Hi, Jean.
Hello.
And anyone else in the middle?
There's Kathy from Tennessee.
Hi, Kathy.
Hey.
Kathy, would you say hello to everybody and let them hear your southern accent?
I know.
That was very good. And who's in Northern California on the line? Anyone in Northern California?
This is Mary Jo in Southern Oregon.
Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi, Wynn.
Anyone else in Northern California? Anyone else in Southern California?
Suzanne's here.
Oh, Suzanne, you're in Arizona. That's, okay.
Jack, all right. Diego.
Jackie. And do I hear Daphne?
I'm here, but I'm in Nevada.
You're in Nevada. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, anyone on the western part of the world that hasn't said hello yet?
Gary and Marianne in San Diego.
Hi, Gary and Marianne. And anyone else? Anyone else? We're on BBS Radio, hopefully tonight, as we see.
There are 13 participants in the conference.
And there's 13 people in the conference. Am I loud enough on the telephone tonight? Because people are always complaining that they can't hear me. And is there anyone else that's just, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, is that right? My name is Wynn, and I'm moderating tonight. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Erica in Oakland.
We have Erica in Oakland and Anna in Berkeley. Is that right?
Lisa's here too.
Lisa in Berkeley. Lisa
Hello.
In San Francisco. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
So, who else is on
Robin
there?
Robin in Illinois.
Robin in Illinois, okay. And anyone else? No. Okay. Well, we've been doing this now for a couple of years. And the line started as a result of, there's someone. Would I just say your name and your city? Would you like to say your name and your city? And you don't have to. Good. I'm glad I told you you don't have to, because at least I know you're listening. sometimes people like to listen anonymously, or they're nervous, and they want to check out what's happening. And plus, the fact that we're live on the radio could give somebody stage fright if they thought that the audience was separate from them. In which case, most of us realize that you and we are really temporarily subdivided expressions of a consciousness of oneness, which we sometimes refer to as the law of one consciousness. And it has to do with a rather sophisticated way that the universe works. And I was thinking a way to describe that would be, I'm going to mute everybody for the moment so we get a better... Hang on.
All callers are muted.
It's kind of like we're all connected to an elevator. We're all, all of us are skyscrapers. And our human physical expression is kind of like the first floor of the skyscraper. Now, this is just one simplification of this, so if it maybe it'll work for people to visualize, grasp how, you know, how some of the additional possibilities they have as a human being that they never considered before. So the basic floor is the ground floor, which is what you see is what you get. And your animalistic body and your blood flow and your whatever. And then you have maybe the next floor just above that is an energy body that is superimposed on your physical body. And then it goes on and on and on and on to all these different floors where some people you could relate them to your chakra system. And they say there's 7 chakras, and each one expands through your body and connects your body to all these other dimensions. And then above that is space, the planets, cosmology, the greater universe. And theoretically, we, in our consciousness, can expand unlimitedly. But that doesn't usually happen. Most of us are contracted and are limited maybe to our body and the energy around our body with some degree of awareness. And, of course, one of the things about expanding your consciousness is that as you expand your consciousness and expand your energetic space and you go up on this elevator, you go through places which may not be very friendly. And some of us have been there before, and we've had friends there, so to speak. Friends is not the right word, but beings that we've connected to, and that when you go up the elevator, you pass through them, and they try to nab you, and they're a little scary. So part of doing all this is understanding that part of what you have to go through, what you could call your expression of your own shadow side, because in the sense that everything is one, so is your shadow, and so are those dark energies in other levels. And so some of us experience and have to clear those connections as we move up the elevator. Other of us don't have that. So it's good to be prepared for anything, because we're in a period of time now that there's something quite unusual happening, and that is that we have the opportunity, all of us, to clear our past connections. Those of you that have been on the line regularly know that we are at the end of a 75,000-year cycle, and there is something happening. Now, we've been talking about this for 8 years, and 8 years ago, I don't think it was quite as obvious as it is now, but I think most people know something's up, and they don't know what it is. And part of the importance of these calls and the work I'm doing, and there's other people doing similar kind of work, is giving people's conscious minds a way to process what's going on and take the maximum advantage of the potential during this period. Because there's a potential here that is apparently very, very rare. Now, we're now drawing on information that comes from channeled sources. So when it comes to drawing information from a channeled source, you have to use a lot of discernment and discretion, because since you can't prove this scientifically, and you can't prove it in your conscious mind, there's two possibilities. One possibility is that you'll reject it and say, how do I know that's true? I'm not going to even consider it. The other possibility is you'll accept it and believe it blindly without really researching it and investigating it. Of course, David Wilcock, who is the subject of the book I wrote, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, took it upon himself when he was faced with bringing this into the public to do a tremendous amount of research that proves that there's something going on right now that has never happened in the history of mankind, the recorded history of the world. We have planets that are getting brighter. I have a whole chapter of the book, and I'm sure you all read it. We have pole shifts on planets. We have more space dust. We have more solar flares. Everybody knows there's weather changes on the Earth that are unusual from previous years of, 20 years ago. We're having increased natural disasters. And, of course, that's to say nothing for crazy politics and unusual actions from governments in relationship to their brother and sister countries, which they're not treating as brother and sister countries. And this is all can be explained under one huge heading, and that is this dimensional shift, this end of a 75,000-year cycle. And anyone that truly investigates it, they may not come to the ultimate conclusion that we're around the corner from ascension, but they will have to come to the conclusion that something is going on and they'd like to know an explanation for what it is. Because if all the premises are true that we talk about, then, as I said earlier, this is an extremely rare time and a rare opportunity. And when I say a rare opportunity, I don't mean a rare opportunity for this lifetime. According to all that we have learned, and there's a lot to explain to prove this, so if you happen to be one of the people that are not sure this is true, then just consider for a moment that it might be, but don't believe me, that reincarnation is real. And as I said, that we all exist, we're all skyscrapers, and the body is the basic foundation, ground floor of the skyscraper. And when the body dies, the skyscraper still exists. And the way you expand it into that skyscraper still exists. And that matrix, which is you, will come back and create another body or find another body and anchor the skyscraper to it and go through another lifetime. And according to our sources, we go through thousands, many of us, thousands and thousands of lifetimes, maybe even a million. And this realm is one which is very difficult to get out of once you're in it. And so when I say this is a rare opportunity, it's not a rare opportunity for this life. It is a rare opportunity when you think of all your lifetimes. Because one of the reasons we keep coming back into our bodies is because when we die, most of us leave something behind in this realm that we have to retrieve. Maybe we left behind an ambition that we didn't fulfill. Maybe we left behind an experience, like you want the love of your life and you didn't find it. So maybe you left behind to be successful. Maybe you left behind someone you cared about. Maybe you left behind someone you really hurt and you have guilt over that. And the guilt binds you to this level. Maybe somebody really hurt you and you have resentment and hurt from that. And that attaches you to this level. And these are very, very deep patterns. You can think about it all you want, but to actually clear them is not easy. And that's why we have to keep coming back into this realm. So what's happening now is because of this end of a cycle, we could say there's an increased density of energy. We are in the, like, for example, in many other lifetimes, the energy was thinner. And so in that lifetime, we had to work with the timeline we were experiencing in that lifetime. And to be able to clear things would take a certain amount of time. In fact, there were many spiritual institutions said one way of clearing things was to meditate, and it might take years and years to meditate in the mountains. And the idea was to try to clear these patterns. If I have it right, I think they called them samskaras in the Hindu. Daphne's on the line. She could probably tell me if that's the right word, but I think it was samskaras. Is that the right word, Daphne?
I'm sorry. Say that again. I couldn't hear you.
That there are like these ancient patterns that we've all built up that we're trying to, we have the possibility to clear while we're in a physical body. And I thought the name for that was samskara. Is that the right name?
Samsara.
Is that the right name?
Samsara. It means illusion.
Samsara. Okay.
Sarah.
Okay, so it's not Sarah. So we're all carrying these around with us, and we're so used to the pattern that we think it's us. Most of us have pains and aches and sorrows and conditioned responses to things, and we think that's who we are. And we go through our whole life thinking that's who we are, and of course, if you don't have a reference point to be some, to feel how it feels not to have that, then that's who you are. And so I remember when I was younger, and I was in my 20s, and I had all this pain I was carrying, but I didn't know I was carrying it. I thought everyone felt the same way. And I had some kind of experience where I had a moment of relief from my personal pain. I said, where did it go? And I think it had to do with being in love at that time. And the feeling of being in love freed me from my pain. And then, of course, again, you think, well, if I could be in love all the time, I wouldn't have any pain. But that doesn't work because eventually the relationship goes back to the level of the patterns, and they come up in the relationship, and that exhilarated feeling of love doesn't last. But it is real in the sense that in that moment where no one knows what's going on, and that moment of romance, there's a lifting of the energy, there's a forgetting of all the patterns that have been holding you down, and you suddenly have a reference point for being a little bit, I had a reference point for being out of pain, but I thought that it was love in a romantic way that would keep me from being in pain, so I spent a long time in my life looking for that perfect romance, and it never happened. It would only be the repetition of kind of relief from my pain, and then the patterns would come back. So everyone probably has something akin to this, where they feel a certain way, and they have something that have made them feel not that way, and then they spend their life trying to bring that thing back into their life, and they can't bring it back. They can't, because this is all the way that you got trapped down here, that we got trapped down here, by continually being stuck and having something that we were trying to work out. And then over many, many, many lifetimes, we slowly recondition ourselves, maybe, if we make the right decisions, if we're exposed to the right things, but it's very tricky because one misstep, and it's kind of like you backslide and you're back to zero. So at least the way it seems to me is not necessarily true that you grow and keep, you know, it's not like you go to elementary school and then you go to junior high and then you go to high school and then college and then you graduate, because you can go through lots and lots of lifetimes and get to college and then go back to elementary school and get back to high school and go back to elementary school, because every time you're born into this realm, you don't have a clue of what you're doing here. You don't have, for most people anyway, no memory of their past lives, not a clue that it works this way. You're exposed to people of religions, of societies, whatever, and you go through it, and I'm sure it works this way, though, at this point. And if this is something that's new to you, then you might consider the possibility. There's a huge amount of evidence of this. There's even scientific evidence, at least as scientific as you can get. I forget this guy's name, there was a psychiatrist that found that certain young people could remember their past lives, and he would question them, I think it was in Sweden or something, Martin. I can't remember his name, sorry. But I read these things years ago, and I read Edgar Casey, and I was quite convinced that this had to be the way that it worked. That in fact, we reincarnated and reincarnated and reincarnated. And going back to the point that right now, because we have an increased density of energy, now there's a correlation between density of energy and time, that our experience of time is connected with the density of energy. And so many of you are noticing that time is moving differently. And our ability to connect interdimensionally is like connected with this density of energy. It would be as if for most of our lifetimes there was a tiny skinny wire, copper wire, that was connecting us to the cosmos, and that it was hard to get much electricity through it. And now it's no longer a tiny little wire. It is a huge, big, thick wire that can get lots and lots of amps through it. And your consciousness now holds the limitation, whereas in other lifetimes, it was the consciousness of the society, of the planet, of the world, that would hold the limitation. Now, the pipeline is open, and the question is, can you connect with the pipeline and utilize it? Because when you do, you accelerate your evolution. You accelerate your where you are in your skyscraper, where you can start operating from the higher floors. And, you know, it's not like you have to leave the lower floors. An elevator is not like the entirely best analogy, because it sounds like, well, either you're on the first floor or you're on the 10th floor. But the fact of the matter is, if you're on the 10th floor, you can also be on the 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th, 4th, 3, 2, 1. And that's what it means to have a multi-dimensional consciousness. And it's like the ability to test these things is so much more available now because of this speeded up time and increase in density of energy. And so when we start to go up in the elevator, then we start to experience each other differently. Because at the higher floors, the skyscrapers come together. There's bridges interlinking them, so that whereas in the physical level, we have separate bodies, and our bodies don't really become one. They're always separate. At the higher levels of energy, the energies commune and interplay. So we're existing all the way from here up to the place where things interplay. And then we go even further up and we find many other beings and entities along the way that we can't see, but we can intuit. And part of the reason this call is going on is because I ended up having communication with those beings in these higher levels of the skyscrapers, and had the opportunity to ask many, many, many questions about things, and it became a responsibility for me to share this with other people, because it was an unusual experience. And in a recent channeling, that came up, that I happened to be a really old soul. They said a million lifetimes. And I said, oh, my God, but that doesn't mean I'm better than anyone. It probably means I screwed up more than anyone. And probably doing this is a way to atone for some of my past screw-ups. And it was very interesting because when they said that to me, I remembered a song that I wrote probably 30 years ago. And it was a song that I was writing songs that I think were almost being channeled. I remembered when I would write a song, it was like an adventure because I would put my pen on the paper and I didn't know how it was going to turn out. And then I looked at the lyric and I said, my God, how could I come up with this? It's perfect. And I realized that whether I was connecting with other entities or whether I was connecting with higher aspects of myself, I was certainly doing things that were far beyond my conscious mind to produce, and certainly producing things that were far beyond my conscious mind to even live, live up to the kinds of platitudes that I was putting down on paper in my music. And I actually felt a little guilty about it at the time because I said, geez, if I sing this song and I say these lyrics and I don't live up to the lyric, what are people going to think of me? Because they're going to expect me to be this lyric if I say it. And this one song, I don't know if you guys have heard it. I have it on X-Drive. And it's called The Reason Is to Love You. And it was a time that I was traveling around the country playing music, staying in people's living rooms. And it was very magical. It was a time that one day would go to the next, and it was filled with synchronicities. And I could only tap into it when I was traveling. As soon as I would stop traveling, it would stop, and I'd become like a normal human again. And I would start traveling, and I would just go into nothingness, and I would meet people, and there's loads and loads of stories to share during that period, but I'm not going to share them because it doesn't seem important enough. But at the time, it was like I shared them because I realized I was tapping into a level of flow that I had never experienced and that most people had, very few people had experienced it. And I wanted to share with people about this level, and I was trying to use my music as a way of sharing it. And so I had written this song, and I felt like what was my highest ideal of who I was and what I could share with another person. It's called The Reason Is to Love You. And it was not a romantic song. It was a spiritual song. And I remember the lyrics of the song when they said I had a million lifetimes. Because I'll share the lyric because it's a beautiful lyric, and maybe I'll put it up on Higher Vision, the song, and you guys can listen to it. Maybe it'll be more meaningful since I talked about it. So the lyric goes, I am a spirit traveler. I come from nowhere. I live here. I walked many lonely roads. I've been everywhere that you fear. I've been everybody's father. I've been everybody's son. I watched one man finish what another's just begun. Would you believe me if I told you that the reason I am here is to love you? I wandered in the desert. I almost died of thirst. I stood behind every man who was trying to be first. I had a million faces. I had a million names. But my reflection has always been the same. Would you believe me if I told you the reason I am here is to love you? So here we are together, and we have so little time. Just for this moment, I'll be yours, and you'll be mine. And then I have to disappear into the winds of fate. I'll carry you inside my heart. You've opened up the gates. Would you believe me if I told you the reason I am here is to love you? Okay, so you can hear that line. I've had a million faces, and then they told me I had a million lifetimes. And so it was kind of interesting that that came through in my subconscious. There's another song I had written, and it had to do with, I've told this story before, but because I'm talking about reincarnation on this call, it had to do with a lifetime. I had a reading from someone that allegedly could tell people who they were in their past lifetimes. And in that reading, this guy told me this story of when I was a troubadour in England 1,000 years ago. And I used to go from town to town playing music, and he went into great detail of how when I would go into a town, I had to get the ruling authority's approval. And then when I got their approval, the Lord's approval, that they would give me a swatch of their royal material. And I would put that on my outfit, and then that would be like a credit card for that particular town. And people would recognize that material, and as a troubadour, they would take me home. I'd have women. I'd have a place to stay. And then I would just stay so long that I'd go to the next town. And that one of the things that a troubadour did is, aside from playing music, is they would bring the news from one town to another, because there were no newspapers. There were no radios, of course. And so troubadours were the way that people would find out what was going on in the neighboring towns. And he told me I was a troubadour. And then he told the story of how I had gone into this one town, and I had the hots for a lady-in-waiting in that town. She was the nobility. And I couldn't get the approval of that particular ruling authority, the lordship of that town. And so I made up stories about what was happening in the neighboring towns. And I tried to become important to him, and I still couldn't get him to give me his approval. And then this woman and I were going to have a secret rendezvous at an inn, and they locked her in her room, and we couldn't meet. And so I went to the inn, and I thought she was going to be there. And there were some soldiers from the two towns, the town that I was at and the town that was nearby where I had made up stories. And they started commiserating and realized that I had lied. And they decided to teach me a lesson. They stripped me of my uniform and all my credit cards. And I was very humiliated, and I went into the inn, and the innkeeper decided to poison me. Now, I'm not sure exactly what motivated him to poison me. I humiliated him. In fact, in the reading, the guy told me that I thought that the soldiers were going to kill me, and I was so sure they were going to kill me that when I went into the inn, I had that thought in my mind. And so the innkeeper actually just did what my thoughts were asking and poisoned me. that innkeeper became my father this lifetime because he owed me a life. And part of my challenge in this lifetime, of course, when I was a kid, I didn't know any of this, but my father was not that happy to see me. And he kept trying, essentially, to poison me with his consciousness because I brought up all this incredible guilt for him. And so there were many, 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 many episodes during my childhood that made it clear that maybe this story was true that this guy told me. And in fact, my girlfriend at that time, I guess this was about 30 years ago, was the lady in waiting that we had met, and we had an intense attraction for each other, and you know, this was a relationship that got consummated 1,000 years later. And so long before this guy gave me this reading, I had written a song which went into detail in that same past life. And I would say that when I compared the lyrics to the song to the story he told me, I was totally convinced that reincarnation had to be real. And I thought, since I'm going into my music, I'll share the lyric of that song, because I told you the story. And you know, for those of you that are skeptical, maybe this will be something that will open your own consciousness to consider that it works this way. So the lyric went, "In the corners of time are the ladies who wait, with their sleek silver smiles polished on. On the edges of time are the poets who watch and freeze their sleek smiles into rhyme." "From my window I watch all the games in my court and position my players to their squares. My red king lies begging at the mercy of his knight, while the bishop swallows all his prayers." Notice we have, I'm just making a comment, we have a lady in waiting, we have, the next line is, "Steaming at the wayside, my jeering crowd looks on and cries for the color of his blood." So that had to be the two different soldier groups that had met and formed a alliance against me to teach me a lesson. "And in the depths of her bedroom, tears fall from my queen. She knows her king will never be again." And I guess that relates to the relationship that never got together, and then they locked her in the room. "In the beginning, I waited for the end, but a voice beckons me from my games, and I wait for my signal from my master who sits neath granite walls to open my day." And then it repeats the first verse again. Now, that last verse actually sounds like I'm talking about reincarnating. At the time I wrote the song, I remember thinking that it was about reincarnating, but I didn't realize I was writing it about myself, and I was telling my own story until that guy told me the story. So this was a very pivotal event in my early life, in my early development, to put those things together, because I tend to be very empirical and skeptical, and even though I consider things, until something happens in my life to validate it, I don't just accept it. And so this lifetime, you know, and of recent times, in the last 6 or 7 years, I guess the experience I'm having now was kind of set up by all those experiences when I was younger to where I had started writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and then suddenly I have a personal relationship that's channeling and talking to me and asking me to ask questions. And, you know, I approached it with the same set of skepticism, and that's why I tell everyone else, please approach this skeptically and do your own due diligence, because there's just too many facts tying everything together. And we started doing this conference call because these guys that were at the top of the skyscraper, so to speak, the skyscraper we're talking about, said they would be on the line during the call and that they would use the call as a way of giving a reference point so that other people could move up the skyscraper, the elevator, in a safe, protected manner, and they could meet and greet each other in their spirit forms, and that on the physical plane, there would be an experience that people could have to validate that something was going on. So this group that was talking to me, this voice was not an individual entity. It was a group entity. It called itself the Council of Elohim, and the experience has been going on for 6 years now, fairly well consistently, to the point where we've been having conversations with all kinds of groups in other dimensions, the Elohim group, the Ra group, through three different people, Matthew, Daphne, and Terry. And a year and a half ago, for quite a period of time, we never had a live channeling on this call. I would talk about the story. I would read channelings. And Wayne was actually here at the very beginning when that was going on. And we would go through the channelings, mostly from Terry. It's in the free ebook, Questions and Answers with the Elohim. And if you're listening, please request this, because we send it to you for free at this point, winfree@yahoo.com. It tells the story of what happened to me, and it's Elohim answering questions about how they interact with us from their dimension to our dimension. And basically, they're one of the forces that we thought of as God, and that they are just at the top of the elevator, and that we can meet them in our own skyscraper. I guess they go down a little bit, and we go up a little bit, and somewhere we meet in the middle. And then, of course, we have the other group soul, the Ra group, which has introduced itself through the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and the channelings of Carlo Rucker. And if you're hearing this for the first time, please don't just jump over this. This is something that, if I'm correct, it's solving a huge puzzle of life, and it's giving you an opportunity to investigate this for yourself, because there's a huge amount of evidence at this point that these guys are real, and that they're working with us, and that you can connect with them by paying attention to the work we're doing. Now, this is not the only way to connect with them. It's the one that I'm working with, and it's pretty powerful. And if you feel like you don't have this kind of connection, and that it's something you wished you had, you may be able to connect with this through the work we're doing. We're holding conference calls every night of the week where their energy is present. There's people volunteering to hold the energy on these calls. We are bringing energy into the planet through our joint consciousness to our joint intention to do this, but it's something that your mind, you can't grasp it with your mind, particularly the first time you hear about it. So it's something that if you like the idea of it, you have to pay attention to it for a while so that it rubs off on you. Sometimes you get exposed to something like this, and the first time you get exposed, you're still in the way I described myself when I was younger and I was so much in pain. I didn't know there was a world without pain. And if I walked into hearing somebody like me, I don't know if I would have responded because I was so engrossed within my own compression and my own contraction. So I'm sure people are going to listen to me and they're going to be in that space. And that I've watched people who have been in spaces like that, that over paying attention to this work, over listening to the channelings, they've uncompressed themselves to a great degree. And you know what? I'm screwing up tonight because I'm talking too much, and we're supposed to be off in 2 minutes, and we could probably extend it. Wait a second. The next BBS show starts at 6:55. Let me just say that if anyone's listening on BBS, please request questions and answers with the Elohim. Send me an email, winfrey@yahoo.com. And a year ago, we did a conference call like this, and Daphne was on the line, and I had never asked her to channel on the line like this. And she interrupted and said they wanted to say something. And she was on the line tonight, and I know every week we've had Terry talking, and Daphne was going to do a channeling, and I screwed up because I kept talking. Are you there, Daphne?
I'm here.
You know, we only have a minute, and I don't really know if that's enough time to do a channeling. We can put it off till next week, and I promise everyone, you know, as long as you're in a good state of mind, that we will have a channeling from either the, you know, one of the soul groups we're working with. And would you like to say anything from your conscious mind or that you can say in 1 minute?
It's hot and windy in Nevada.
Okay, thank you. All right. Well, I'm sorry that I talk so much, and I know I could feel their energy present as I was talking, so they were here, and next week they'll be speaking to us. And if you're listening on BBS Radio, don't miss the chance to come back next week, or if you look through the archives of this conference call, you'll hear many, many instances of communications we've done with both the Elohim group and the Ra group here on this call. And, you know, we're making some fairly amazing claims, and it's probably worth your while paying attention for a period of time and seeing if there's any substance to what we're saying. And we have a website, higher-vision.org. It's not very well kept up, but there's a lot of interesting things on it. There are loads of archives of our Monday night calls going back for a couple of years now or so. On Wednesday night, we do another conference call where we ask questions. People have the opportunity to ask their own questions to wise sources in other realms. And that's at 6 p.m. And that's not on the air. It's on a phone line. So if you'd like to participate in that, please email me, and we'll send you the access number. And on that note, it is 6:52, and I'm going to sign off from BBS Radio. Thank everybody for listening. And those who are on the conference call, we are going to do our calling in of the light and create our own intentions for the next 10 minutes, as we do every week. So I hope we're off of BBS now. Let's see here.
All callers are unmuted. All callers are muted.
So I'm going to call in the light, and it seems like everyone likes the way of just people volunteering without being called on. I think we started that last week, and it felt to me that doing in that way, everyone had kind of a higher intent and a greater connection when they put their things into the light than when I call on them. So I'm going to continue doing that. And, of course, what we're doing is we are, like, creating a group energy, and we're all, those of us that can handle the ride are going up that elevator and operating at a higher floor of the skyscraper with the presence of these two group souls, and we having a group energy conglomerate, and we are moving that energy with each of our individual intentions, putting things in the light for the highest good of all concerned. And that's the exercise here. So it's kind of a new way of describing prayer. And in fact, that's the way prayer actually, to the best of my understanding, works, and that these angelic forces co-create with us. So Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy, those of us that free willingly choose to do so.